Well, the title of today's message is Searching So Long, and we're going to take a look at the topic of conversion, about being converted to Jesus Christ. Now, to have a conversion means you change your worldview, your way of thinking. You go from one way of thinking to another way of thinking. And in Christian circles, you would go from thinking that I'm the center of the universe to making Jesus the center of my world. Now, you know, often people will tend to say, well, those religious people have had a conversion experience, as if to insinuate that everybody else isn't converted to anything. Listen, gang, everybody is converted to a particular worldview. Everybody is. Not a single one of us just sort of floats along the top of everything, completely independent and objective. And obviously, I want to encourage you to be converted to Jesus Christ, to have a worldview, a frame of reference where Christ is at the center of all things. Now, if you are converted to Jesus, you know it. You don't get converted like while you're sleeping. It's not something you inherit. It's not something you know, you get in the mail and you realize, oh, I've been converted to Christ. No, you make a decision based on information. In essence, that's what faith is. Faith is what? Faith is receiving the message, the information about Jesus and making a decision upon it. All right, well, we're going to read a story today, a narrative from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. It's a story of a man by the name of Philip, who's not exactly, he's not the George Clooney of the Bible. He's not necessarily a leading man. This is not Peter. This is not Paul. This is not John. But Philip is very available and useful, and God will use him in a conversation with a man from Africa, with a man from Ethiopia. Okay? So here we go. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, we start. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Philip, I want you to go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, everybody in this room, you've heard of the Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip. Well, here's a map. And so Philip is actually, you see at the top, you see Samaria. Philip has been preaching and teaching up there, actually been having a great time having a revival up there, a very, very fruitful work. But the Lord says, I want you to go down on this route, on this road from Jerusalem to Gaza, because I've got one person in mind. God has been preparing Philip, and God has been preparing this man from Ethiopia, and God will bring the two of them together. Verse 27. So he, Philip, started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. All right, let's stop there for a moment. Ethiopia, you know it as a smaller country in Africa. In biblical times, Ethiopia referred to all the African region south of Egypt. It's a massive, massive empire. And eunuch, and as barbaric as it seems, it was rather common in the ancient world. And so this is who this guy is. He's an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's CFO for the queen of Ethiopia. That's not her name. That's her title. It's kind of like Pharaoh, Kandake. And so this man from Ethiopia is the CFO. He's trusted, he's respected, he's honored, but listen, this guy is a searcher. He has been searching so long. The Bible says this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. He has traveled, get this, at least 1,000 miles. Some Bible students think it could be upward of, you know, more than 1,200, 1,500 miles this guy has traveled to Jerusalem. He's heard about the God of Israel. He's heard about the God of the Scriptures. And he has been searching. He's hungry. And he's on a spiritual quest. And so he goes to Jerusalem to worship. And he's in a chariot. By the way, trivia buffs, this is the only time in the New Testament, I didn't say Bible, only time in the New Testament where someone is described as riding in a chariot. And don't think sports car chariot. Don't think one of those chariots from Gladiator, all right? Think chauffeur-driven limousine chariot. This guy is well-to-do. This guy is the CFO of Ethiopia. Think sizable chariot, covering from the sun, padded bench, and he's reading a scroll from Isaiah. And you're thinking, well, what's the big deal from that? I got four Bibles around the house. I got two Bibles on my phone. Hey, in that day, to have a scroll of scripture, it had to be meticulously copied by hand. To have your own, this is labor intensive and very, very expensive work. To have your own personal copy of scripture, for crying out loud, that tells you something about his resources. That tells you something about his heart. This guy is a searcher. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He's reading it aloud. Do you understand what you're reading, he asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up into his chariot and teach him. I love this guy's humility. Hey, listen, you live in Houston, Texas. You're sharp people. You're adept. You're educated. You've achieved. Some of you would be called, quote unquote, experts in your field. And that makes it sometimes hard for you to admit, you know, spiritually, I might need teaching. Spiritually, I'm a rookie. Maybe single A ball, maybe double A, but I'm not majors. I'm rookie league here. And here's a guy, CFO of Ethiopia, but he just acknowledged, look, I need instruction here. I need instruction. He's reading from Isaiah, actually chapter 53. It's called the Suffering Servant section. And verse 32, this is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Here's a prophecy written 800 years before the coming of Christ. This Ethiopian is reading it, and he asked this question. He asked Philip, verse 34, tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Who is this person? Are you listening? Who is this person who is voluntarily cut off without descendants? Who voluntarily absorbs injustice? Who is this person who is like a lamb led to slaughter, doing it as a substitute? Is the prophet talking about himself or someone else? Ah, Philip says, I can teach you. As a Jew, I know about the prophecy. As a Christian, I know about the fulfillment of the prophecy. And verse 35, then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. May I stop for a moment and just give a little plug for what's coming up next week? Let's put it up on the screen, please. We have a message series, church-wide series, that begins next Sunday, simply called Jesus Is. And we're going to be taking a look at the claims of Jesus, the blessings of Jesus, who he is, what he offers, how you respond. This is going to be church-wide. And I want to encourage you to just say, all right, I want to be here every Sunday during the series. I want to be a part of a group. When this service is over, you can go to our lobby, take a left. Ryan Bean will be there at Volunteer Central, and you can sign up and be a part of a connection group. Listen, We're all taking our next step, and I think it'll be a really good experience for you. If you'd like a study book to help you through this series, just go to our lobby and hang a right, and we've got some books out there. All right, let's go back to the story now. Philip and the man from Ethiopia, he says, hey, listen, can you explain this to me? And Philip starts, and from that very passage of Scripture begins to teach him about Jesus, and actually Jesus the substitute. I mean, think about it. What is sin? Sin is me substituting myself for God, saying, I'm going to play God in my life. I'm the decider. I'm the Lord. I'm my own boss. I'm in charge. What's salvation? Salvation is God substituting himself for us and putting himself in the place we deserve on the cross. This means that Jesus was cut off so that I might be included. Jesus was made unclean so that we can be made clean. Listen, nobody loves God perfectly. No one is good enough. No one is clean enough. We could never make it on our own. But Jesus Christ has done it for us. Verse 36, and as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And then verse 38, you say, what happened to 37? We'll come back there. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Now, if you're reading from a King James Version, which very few people do, but maybe the New King James Version, you may not see a note there. But a number of versions, for example, maybe the NIV, it'll have a little note on verse 37. Some manuscripts include here where Philip said, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there are some early manuscripts, relatively speaking, that do not contain that phrase. Let me just state a brief word here. The Bible is the most thoroughly substantiated book from antiquity, and there's not even a close second. Biblical manuscripts are superior in both quantity and accuracy. And scholars for years compare manuscript against another, looking for discrepancies or inconsistencies. We can be grateful for that. And by any literary standard of textual criticism, it must be acknowledged that what you hold, your Bible, you hold it in its integrity. What John wrote, you have it. What Paul wrote, you have it. What Luke wrote, you have it. And when someone comes and when there's a question, you know, this particular statement may not be found in some of the earliest manuscripts. It's listed for you. But it doesn't in any way alter the essence and the truth of the Christian message, the gospel message. Let me state it again. The Bible is the most thoroughly substantiated piece of literature handed down to us from antiquity. Now, they go down into, they're driving along. The man from Ethiopia says, here's water right here. Why can't I be baptized now? Maybe he's also asking, is there anyone who could forbid me? I'm a man from Africa. I look differently than you do. Is it okay if I'm baptized? Absolutely. They both go down. They come out of the water. And then what happens? And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. As for Philip, he goes and he continues to preach in Azotus, and he traveled about all the way up to Caesarea. And if you know your Israel geography, Azotus would be what's called Ashdod. He would preach there. He would move up towards Joppa, and then he would go on up to Caesarea by the sea. And many of us have been to Caesarea by the sea. He was converted. And his baptism was something where his baptism was the marker. I no longer believe this way. I now believe this way. I no longer will live like this. I'll now live like this. Tradition says this man returns to Africa, becomes a great influence. This I do know, across the world today, 22% of all Christians live in Africa, and I'm grateful for that. Okay, three summary points from this narrative. Here's the first one. God welcomes all. Do you? God welcomes all. Do you? The Holy Spirit wants racial barriers surmounted. The Holy Spirit says, Philip, you see that man from Africa? Go to him. Teach him the gospel. That's the flow of the Spirit. That's the drift of the Spirit. That's the current of the Spirit. That's the wave of the Spirit. That's the step of the Spirit. Are you in step with the Spirit? The Spirit of God says, go cross that barrier. I want you to get to know him because you have something in common. And what do you have in common? An openness to Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said on multiple occasions, my message isn't just for people who look like you. Go into all nations, all ethnic groups. Start in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. A united and yet diverse church is the will of God. From a person in Africa to a person in Texas and everybody in between, the Holy Spirit welcomes all. Do you? Secondly, the Spirit of the Lord is working. Will you? And I believe the Holy Spirit is still at work. Sometimes you read the book of Acts and you have to ask yourself this question. Is this a book of exceptions or is this a book of examples? I think the book of Acts is a book of examples where we can see that the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of available people. Just this past week, I heard a story from a couple of old friends of mine, David and Lisa Carter. David and Lisa have been missionaries in Panama since 06. Before that, they had served in Nigeria. They had been in Panama since 06. And so a few years ago, they go and they visit a town a few miles away. I mean, an hour or so away from the town where they lived. And they walk into a little marketplace, and they see a man. Later, they would learn his name. His name is Nicky. And they see this man reading a Bible over in the corner of the marketplace. He's reading the Bible. And Lisa and David actually said to him what Philip said to the guy from Ethiopia. They just asked him, said, do you understand what you're reading there? And he said, not really, but I want to learn. And they said, well, are you open to being taught, to maybe doing a Bible study? And he said, well, I understand that there is a missionary in another town, and somebody gave me this missionary's name on a piece of paper, and they told me to contact her and that she would teach me, and this is her name. And what was written on the note was Lisa Carter. And Lisa Carter said, well, that's me. I'm Lisa Carter. God had been preparing Lisa. God had been preparing Nikki. So by the way, after about a year, Nikki becomes a Christian. His wife becomes a Christian. They start a little house church there. And now that house church has blossomed to somewhere like 90 to 100 people. And David Carter wrote recently, he said, people in the village say they've never experienced so much peace in their village since the church has been here. I want to teach you a prayer, may I? It's really simple. Repeat after me. Dear God, I'm available. That's it. I'm available. Not I'm available if it's easy. I'm available only I'm available. I'm available to be your mouthpiece. I'm available to be your hands and feet. I'm available to be your instrument. I'm available to put in a good word for Jesus. I'm available to give a word of encouragement. I'm willing to give a word of challenge. I am available. And if you'll pray that prayer, keep your eyes open. Never underestimate sometimes the small actions of an available person to make a difference in the life of another. I was having lunch this week with Alex Nuno, buddy of mine, goes to church right here. And he said, "Hey, Ronnie, are you familiar with this shoulder tap videos?" I said, "No, I'm clueless. I never heard of a shoulder tap video." He said, "Well, they're just encouraging, like, two-minute Christian messages called shoulder tap videos." And he showed me one right there in our little usual Mexican restaurant where we munch. And here, I'll show you one. Watch this.
Shoulder taps. So Tony and I are having lunch at California Pizza Kitchen the other day, and across from us, I noticed this elderly woman sit down. She's dressed nicely, and she's at a large table by herself for about 5 minutes, and then what appears to be her daughter shows up, and I don't recall, two or three grandkids, and they all look spectacular, ready for a nice meal, obviously. And at about that time, a voice in my head starts saying, "You need to go tell her how pretty she looks." So I don't even know if we're eating at this point or not, but the food arrives, check arrives, we're going to go down the walkway a little bit in this strip center and look for something, and that's the next thing that we're going to move to. So Tony stands up, I don't tell her any of this, and on my way out, I just kneel down and kind of get into this position where I'm at her level, right where she's now in her chair, and I said, "Hey, if nobody else has told you yet today, I just want you to hear from me how lovely you are." And she looks at me with a look I've never seen before and says, "I know you." And I said, "No, we don't know each other." And she said, "I know your spirit." And it gets really quiet between us. And she says, "My husband died a year ago. And that's something he would have said to me." And at that moment, I can't talk. I'm overcome by emotion. And I just hug her and smile at her through tears. And I leave. But here's what I know, and here's the reason I'm telling you this. I believe that God taps us on the shoulders and uses us at just the right moment. And what I know for sure is that she was blessed and I was enormously blessed. So I've learned in my life to listen to these shoulder taps because they do happen. And I believe the more that we listen to them, the more in alignment we are with God. And that's an awesome place to be. Shoulder taps.
Ordinary, available people or powerful instruments in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, I'm available. Third point here very quickly. The water is ready. Are you? For some of you, it's time to take your next step of baptism. Water baptism, which the Bible calls water spirit baptism. And to have the attitude of the man from Ethiopia who says, "Here's water, why can't I be baptized right now? What hinders me from being baptized now?" Gang, let me state it very, very clearly. Please do not devalue baptism. When we devalue baptism, when we talk about baptism as if it's just marginal, optional, not very significant, we minimize the cataclysmic gateway that the New Testament speaks of baptism as a transition from death to life. Look in the New Testament, and baptism is part of the conversion narrative. It's part of the process of becoming a Christian according to the text. Listen, and baptism doesn't demean faith. Baptism is not a combatant to faith, an opposite of faith. To the contrary, baptism expresses our faith in the work of Jesus Christ and therefore becomes, to use the words of John Calvin, a divine work of assurance. The water's ready. Are you? Are you ready to be baptized into Christ? We can help you today. Or on your Get Connected card, there's a place where you can even check a box that says, I'm ready to take my next step of baptism. Why don't you check that box today? Or if you're ready to be baptized today. I mean, like today. Water's ready. It's heated even. But what about towels? We got towels. We got plenty of towels. We got stuff for you to wear. Good looking robes. I mean, great look. You've never looked so good as you'll look in these baptismal robes. I mean, bring up an excuse. We got a response. But I'm serious. Is it time for you to take that next step? Gang, the Lord welcomes all. Do you? Let's have that big, broad heart. The Spirit is working. Will you cooperate? Dear God, I am available. And the water's ready. Are you?